he's ready or not, we're starting. It's another podcast. It's Eric Chase. I'll introduce my guest in just a second. Monday, December 10th, about 6 o'clock or so before we get to the last Monday night show on Q105, because we're taking things to the morning show as lots of musical chairs are playing here at Cumulus Media. I'll be doing the morning show beginning December 17th at 6 o'clock, maybe a couple of minutes before that. Denny and his crew move over to RQN, and Cliff and Lynn from RQN move down the hallway to help out Gary Shores at K100. And Pike, who I used to work with at the other place, is coming back to Toledo to be on our rock station here. So there you go. Lots of new morning shows, musical chairs, and it's like, why are you doing this at the end of the year? People are using vacation days. They're not in their normal day pattern. And I'm shopping for gifts. I'm using vacation days before they run out. Well, quite frankly, I can't speak for everybody else, but it'll allow Floyd and myself to get our sea legs so that way we don't just have to start on January 2nd and try to figure it out from there. So we'll take a couple of weeks, figure things out, and we'll be much better off as you get back to your normal schedule. As the calendar flips over to 2019. I'm about to introduce you, so you better be ready. He is Justin Camuso. You've heard him from past very nerdy podcast episodes. We usually have Vinny on with us, but not tonight, because Justin and I had a long back and forth about as we approach award season on Friday. And we're like, you know what? We got to get a podcast together. That was the same day that the Avengers Endgame trailer dropped, so we'll get to that. And mostly awards nominations, as the Golden Globe nominations rolled out, and also Grammy nominations on Friday as well. So we'll cover all that stuff and some other things here. As it's been a minute or so since Justin and I have caught up, we'll talk some TV shows, what we're watching, what we gotta watch. Because I know, we'll start with this. Off the Golden Globe nominations, Justin is part of the arts community, but more so, He is a film snob. He is a film buff. He has that degree. I watched it, but do you ever watch stuff? Like you dive into something and you half watch on your phone, and then you hear or read about it and you're like, I thought that sucked. Then you go back and you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some shows that, like, I'm even looking at just some of the stuff that's nominated for TV now this year, and I'm just even looking at The Good Place, which I remember starting, you know, two episodes, because I was like, oh, it's the Parks and Rec kind of office crew, it's all them kind of doing their own thing now, and watching like the first three episodes and being like, this isn't for me, but I wasn't really paying attention. And then everyone's like, you got to stick with it, because it gets to be like the greatest thing ever once it kind of, you know, finds its place. And I went back later when the full season was up for the first season, and I rewatched those first three episodes, and then I powered through to the end, and I was like, this is easily the best comedy on television right now. And there's a strong fan base, but at the same time, it still feels like not many people are watching. But that's definitely one of those shows that, like, it was much better when we went back second time.
For me, and I see it has some nominations, I have to go back to Killing Eve. Do you know about that?
I have heard everyone talk about it. I listen to a lot of entertainment podcasts, a lot of TV podcasts too, because I spend so much time catching up on movies that TV kind of falls to the wayside a little bit, so I have to listen to what everyone else is talking about, and that seems to be the one that I really want to get into. I never watched Grey's Anatomy, so I don't really have like a strong affiliation for Sandra Oh, but I've always liked her as a personality, and she's hosting the Golden Globes, so that's exciting. So I'd like to see something that she's starring in.
Yeah, this was months ago where I had read about it. It seemed like a buzzy crime show, like a psychological crime show with a little, like, it seemed like a female driven Sherlock. Mm-hmm. And I talk about Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, Freudian slip there. And I didn't stick with it. Same thing. It's like I was watching as I was getting ready to go to bed. And
yeah.
So I have to go back to that because it's gotten big nominations.
Yeah, and I've heard it's actually quite funny for being a drama. But it sounds like it's not the comedy that, like, if you're half paying attention, you'll be like, I got that joke. It kind of has to be like, oh, I'm paying attention to see that this is humor. Like, it's that kind of humor, it seems like.
Did you ever watch Sherlock?
Which, like,
the last one, the one that really dove off the cliff, Benedict Cumberbatch.
I never watched it.
Yeah, no. It's like, it's not like soundtrack laugh funny.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't believe she said that while there's a dead body right there.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. So that's that. What else? I have the Golden Globes pulled up here. Do you want to? We'll just start at the top. Is that okay?
Yeah. Do we want to start with movies then or TV?
Let's do movies.
Okay.
And every time I see a teaser, a trailer for Vice, I just get even more excited.
Yeah.
More excited because you had seen the pictures of Christian Bale, like fat Christian Bale, like months ago, like I had, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, he's playing Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I kind of feel as like where we come from nerddom, that a guy who brought Batman back to pop culture along with Christopher Nolan to be recognized, I think, as the greatest living actor now that Daniel Day-Lewis is kind of stepping away is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's funny that I saw that image of him, you know, so long ago that I had actually forgotten that he was playing that part. So when I was, you know, scrolling when they dropped the trailer for Vice, it just said like Adam McKay's Vice. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out. And I'm staring at this trailer and looking at Christian Bale. And I'm like, who is this person? Like, who is that? And when it says his name at the end of the trailer, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. However, I will say, I wasn't the biggest fan of The Big Short, which was Adam McKay's last movie. And so I'm a little hesitant on that one. But I'm still excited to see it.
I didn't love the bit. And I went to go see that for Bale. And there was a good cast around. It was Bradley Cooper. Who else?
No, Bradley Cooper wasn't in it.
Yes. Are you sure?
It was Ryan Gosling. Pitt was in it for a little bit.
Ryan Gosling was very good. Brad Pitt had
And Steve Carell was in it a little bit.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
Yeah, she played the Jersey Girl, I think.
Are you mixing up American Hustle?
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. The trailers are exactly the same.
Sorry. Because I saw American Hustle for Christian Bale, and he like acted everybody under the table. But The Big Short was really good as well.
Yeah.
Okay. But I was surprised when my friend texted me, when she said the nominations came out, and he got one that she was surprised, and I was as well, that Vice was nominated for comedy and musical, not drama.
Yeah, which of it's the strange thing about Vice that's happening right now, and it's like what a lot of the critics and people in LA and the bigger cities are talking about, is Vice has been released to the critics, but there is an embargo on all the reviews, and the embargoes are so strict that no one can even talk about it. So it's really interesting that it's got the most amount of nominations at the Golden Globes this year, but literally no one can say anything and none of the public has even seen it. So we can't even listen to what the critics are saying about it, right? Because we don't know. I've heard rumors that the final result might be a split in terms of people who love it and people who hate it. So maybe that's why they have stretched the embargo out for as long as they can to make it through, get that awards buzz. So they're going to get butts in the seats rather than even if they, you know, if they have bad reviews.
It's it has the most nominations at the Golden Globes?
I believe so, yeah.
Has there ever been a movie, and maybe there has there ever been a movie to get the most nominations and it wasn't like Best Picture Drama? Because usually those are I feel like the dramas, the top category that usually lead with nominations.
I'm not sure. And it's always so weird. And this is something we could totally talk about with the Golden Globes that I wanted to bring up, is this splitting of the categories. Because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Because I think we'll remember from a couple of years ago, one of the big surprises for a comedy nomination was The Martian. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird. And even Matt Damon was like, sure. And he got nominated for a comedy actor. And like, right, that movie had like moments of
humor,
brevity, but it was a bleak movie overall. So it's just really weird how they split these categories. I mean, we could even look at how going over to drama. I mean, Star is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, they're musicals.
Right.
And they're not in the musical category. It's however the production company and the distributors want to, you know, market it.
And how they can get the best potential nominations.
Exactly.
As well.
Knowing who their competition is.
As I'm looking at it, like, Black Panther is nominated and made history doing so, but it's a drama. And I don't know if we've ever considered any Marvel movies dramas, but I guess if you're going to take it out of that Marvel universe, sure, I guess it's a drama.
Yeah. It's definitely not a comedy or a musical.
Although the soundtrack was so big, it would make... You're right. The categories are... And things span genres.
Yeah.
So like we just mentioned, you know, the production companies submit these where they think they'll best win.
Yeah.
Also, Best Motion Picture Drama, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, A Star Is Born. Did you see Black Klansman?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. There's a lot of controversy surrounding that film in terms of there's this whole thing about it kind of paints this, we won't get too into it, but it does paint this like sympathy towards police, and especially back in the, I think it takes place in the 70s, I might be wrong, but you know, there's a lot of discrepancy about what Spike Lee's intentions of making it that point of view, but I think overall it's a really interesting movie, because all his movies are just so, they're all over the place a lot in terms of like, it's comedic, it's dramatic, it's trying new things, it's really something special to watch, and it's really great to watch when you realize that the main character is Denzel Washington's son, but you don't know that the entire time, and you're like, this man's voice sounds very familiar.
Last I heard, he was playing football. We're trying to.
Maybe he has more than one son.
Oh.
I don't know.
Very possible. I'm sure he's had a lot of sex in his life. What's If Beale Street Could Talk?
That is the follow-up from the director of Moonlight.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's based off of James Baldwin novel. So it's supposed to be, I think it's a couple who are, they fall in love, and the woman in the couple gets pregnant right as the man gets misaccused of a crime, and he has to go to jail. So she has to go through this pregnancy, and they're very much in love. It's not like she's like, oh, he knocked me up and then he left. It's a big misunderstanding. They all know it's a misunderstanding. It's this, how this whole town kind of comes together to help bring them together and, you know, help raise the baby and make sure that it knows that it's love. It's a love story with some political drama sprinkled into it.
Is it out?
No, it's not out yet.
Do you think it got this have you heard or read good things about it, or did it get this nomination off the heels of Moonlight being such a success?
I mean, every critic I've listened to or follow has it somewhere in their top 10, top 15 films of the year, so I have to believe that there's something to it.
Okay. Best actress in a drama, Glenn Close, The Wife. Gaga and Star is Born, Nicole Kidman, Destroyer, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Rosamund Pike, A Private War. I feel like that strikes me. What is that movie?
Which one?
Private War.
That's the thing. There's three of the movies on here that when I saw this cat, like, I was blown away, because there's three movies on here that I've never heard of. I've never heard of The Wife, Destroyer, or A Private War.
Because we see a lot of the same movies, I think we've probably seen the trailer for A Private War.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Dornan is in it. That's why it also struck me.
Oh, okay.
Stanley Tucci. Sorry.
Tucci Gang.
Yeah, I know I've seen the trailer for this, because every time I see Rosamund Pike, I think about Gone Girl.
Yeah. And I mean, these are all great actresses. I think it's pretty much Lady Gaga's to win. And I don't know. I think Lady Gaga and Melissa McCarthy will be the only two out of this category who will make it into Best Actress in a Motion Picture at the Oscars. I don't know. This could go a lot of different ways. It's really strange, because then, you know, there was that film, the horror film Hereditary.
Yep.
And, you know, did you end up seeing that one?
I did. Remember, you yelled at me because I didn't like it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, but Toni Collette, what she's doing in that movie is just insane, and she got no recognition. And then, you know, you look at Claire Foy in First Man, and Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz in The Favorite. These are the people who are going to take it all the way to the Oscars. I think it's really interesting with these actresses categories. The film Widows, which had a lot of women in it. Totally not a single nomination. I know some critics seem to like it, but it seemed to split audiences. The movie tries to do a lot, but there are some fantastic performances in it. Elizabeth Debicki, she was in the most recent Guardians. She's one of the golden, okay, what was that race of people?
Where what's his face? Adam Warlock comes from.
Yeah, yeah. So she's like the lead one, and okay, she's in a couple other things, but she just gives this performance that is just like insane. And I don't know where that movie, in terms of the acting, why that was just totally left out.
Actor, we'll go through these quickly in the drama for Golden Globes. Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate. I don't know that one. Lucas Hedges, Boy Erased, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, John David Washington, Black Klansman. I'm going to guess from everything I've read, it's Rami Malek's lose.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Willem Dafoe one, that's the one where he's playing, it's a biopic about Vincent Van Gogh's
That's
life.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
So
that's right.
I really do think Rami Malek will, he has a chance to really pull away with that one. That I wasn't crazy about the movie Bohemian Rhapsody as a whole, but I thought he knocked it out with that one. I still can't believe, just looking back on that and watching that movie and comparing it to footage and clips of, oh my gosh, of what his Freddie Mercury
right
in real life and comparing it to Rami Malek. Like, I mean, it's insane.
Best, let's see, make sure we're good there. Best motion picture, musical or comedy. This is probably maybe the most powerful. And we'll see how Mary Poppins turns out, like if everybody absolutely loves it. But do you feel bad that Crazy Rich Asians is there, which I know you liked a lot, and it's going to get whooped by Vice? Because there's no way that Vice isn't going to win.
I think you're right, but...
And I want to see The Green Book, too.
Yeah, I've heard a lot that this the favorite is the one that people are going to start having to look out for.
What is it? You know?
It is... Do you remember there was a movie a couple years ago called The Lobster? It had Colin Farrell in it.
Nope.
It's this like Greek director. I don't know. It's like he made a couple weird movies and somehow he's one of those people that all these stars in Hollywood like fell in love with. So they all are doing his movies now. And there's this movie out called The Favorite. It has Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, Olivia Colman. And they're basically, it's about... a queen, and she basically has these two servants, and the servants are cousins. That's Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone, and they're vying to be the number one spot next to the queen, because whoever is number one next to the queen actually has the most power, as you know.
Got it.
And it's kind of this like twisty but like really dark but apparently hilarious film about these two women kind of like vying for that top spot. And
like, is it like a dark comedy?
It's like a dark comedy, but a lot of this guy's movies are very, very dark subject matter wise, and they have bits of comedy. This seems to be a little bit more straightforward comedy. Right. But I'm excited about it, and a lot of people are thinking it could sneak up.
Not in that category.
I don't know.
Not in that category.
Yeah.
Let's blow through the best supporting. And this works in any motion picture. It doesn't divide it up by categories. Let's blow through this quickly. Any thoughts on either best actress or best actor? Do you have those categories pulled up in front of you, or do you need me to read them?
No, I have them.
Okay.
I think the actress category is great. I haven't seen Amy Adams in Vice, so I'm fine with that. I really think those are all appropriate to what I would think. I can't think of anyone right now who I would put into that role. I think the supporting one is kind of, I'm not too thrilled about it. I'm sorry, I'm trying to,
no,
there
you're
it
fine.
Is. Okay, I couldn't find that one. The one thing that really strikes me as weird is this whole thing that Green Book did with Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen, where I'm pretty sure they're both the main characters of the movie.
Right.
And the company decided to split them as supporting and lead, with Viggo being the lead. So I think that was just a really odd move. I'm interested to see how they do it at the Oscars.
Viggo was not. Oh, he was. Yes. Best actor,
lead actor.
Musical or comedy. So, yeah. But again, you know, that could be a drama. So, okay.
Yeah. I think some of the supporting were missing. I would have loved to see Sam Elliott from A Star Is Born. He had one of my favorite moments of the year in that film. And I'm confused as to where Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther is. And I think his Killmonger definitely could have been supporting.
Can I throw a theory out?
Yeah.
I bet that they wanted, and maybe this, bet that they just wanted the movie overall recognized rather than the individuals. Although supporting the individuals could have thrusted the movie.
Yeah.
So, but I get it.
It is weird because I'm wondering what's going to happen with this show and with the rest of the awards we have coming up. Is it like, are people just giving Black Panther that sympathy Best Picture nomination, but then no one's going to acknowledge that the pieces of it were actually really good? I'm not saying give Chadwick Boseman a lead Oscar, because he's not.
No, he
wasn't that great in that movie. But you got to acknowledge, like, I mean, what Michael B. Jordan did in that movie is, he didn't have to do that, and he did, and it's insane. You know, like, really acknowledging this. I know that the soundtrack was nominated, and so was the score. So, I mean, we're acknowledging that there are pieces of it that make it good. I just really hope it doesn't get totally shut out at future awards.
I guess the goal, well, we'll find out whether it was just like a throwaway. Hey, that was like a really good movie. It's the best thing, you know, Marvel's ever done, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Let's throw it in there because we can. To wrap up movie stuff, motion picture animated, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs. I don't know what Mirai is. Ralph Breaks the Internet, and the highly acclaimed, though not out yet, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It's a fun category, isn't it?
It is a fun category, and I'm interested to see where they go, because I loved Ralph Breaks the Internet. I loved Incredibles 2. Isle of Dogs, I had a lot of high hopes for, and I thought just overall it didn't really work well for me. Mirai, I just got a preview for that. I believe it's a Japanese film. Sometimes those can come in, depending on what studio it's from, they can come in and sweep the whole category. But really, from what I've heard about this Spider-Man, it could take it. I don't know, though. Yes, I think it's a really interesting category, and I really don't think anything is missed. I can't think of anything off the top of my head animated-wise.
It's just a good category with the Ralph movie doing well, the Spider-Man getting really high reviews, and Incredibles 2.
Where's Teen Titans Go? To the movies.
last movie I want to talk about, it's not out yet, and I thought it was out, but it's out, but not. So it was out recently, and it's coming to Netflix in 4 days.
Yeah.
Roma?
Yeah.
From Alfonso Cuarón.
So I learned something about the Golden Globes. So the Golden Globes are run by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. It's this entity that, like, no one's really too aware of. It's not like the Academy of Motion Pictures, where it's like there's hundreds of thousands of members of it who are celebrities and everybody in between. This is like a very tight group of, like, foreign, European, you know, that, and they basically build the Golden Globes to be this show where they can invite as many, like, celebrities that, you know, that's why Nicole Kidman gets nominated for something every year, because they just love having the cutaways to, like, the famous people. But I learned that for some reason at the Golden Globes, a film that is foreign, that is not American, cannot be nominated in Best Motion Picture or Best Comedy. It can only be nominated in Best Foreign Picture, which is different from the Oscars, where if Roma gets nominated for Best Picture, it can still also be nominated, I believe, it won't be nominated for Best Foreign Film.
Because
once it gets nominated for Best Picture, it can't be foreign film. But
is that like some kind of nepotism?
I don't know.
Because it is the foreign press?
I'm not sure, because I was listening and everyone was like, you know, when these started to come out, everyone was like, wait, why isn't Roma nominated for Best Picture Drama? It's the best movie of the year that everyone's saying. And it's like, oh, well, when it's nominated for, or it can't be nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes, which is really weird.
What, it escapes me. What was his last movie that won? It was 2 years ago, right?
I think Gravity was his last. Well, oh, foreign? E Tu Mama Tambien.
No, I was going to say, he won a couple of years ago, not for Gravity, for something else.
I think you might be mixing him up with the guy who did Birdman and... Oh, I mixed them up today earlier. The guy who did The Revenant and...
Is it another foreign name?
Yes, and I'm mixing both of there. I'm his
Children of Men. Okay, so we did Gravity? Yeah. Huh. Okay.
I think this was his most what was his most recent before
Maybe
this?
Maybe it was Gravity. I'm not thinking of Guillermo del Toro. I'm not confusing my Spanish guys.
I am blanking on the guy who does. This is terrible.
Okay, so Gravity was his last one, and, you know, that one big. And if you've not heard about this, it's a Mexican movie, correct? Roma? And it's been out in limited release, but it's coming to Netflix.
It's a Netflix original. Netflix produced this movie, and they had to release it into some theaters in order for it to be qualified for awards shows.
So they did that, and we get to watch it on, I guess, Thursday or Friday. Do you know anything about it?
I'm trying to stay away from any of the details, because I really want to just be surprised, because everyone's saying how great it is, but I've managed to escape some of the synopses of it. And also, I was thinking of Alejandro G. Iñárritu.
Yes!
I can't believe I didn't think of that name off the top of my head.
He was Birdman, right?
Yeah.
And then something else?
The Revenant.
Was he The Revenant?
Yeah.
Which I didn't love.
I like Leo in that movie.
And I was hoping to like Tom Hardy. It lingered.
Yeah.
For a slow movie, you know as well as I do, there's slow burns and then there's slow burns that linger.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. Let's blow through the TV shows and then we'll swing it over to some other stuff.
Yeah.
What about TV stuff? Strikes you best? Television series The Americans, which is like the best show that most people don't watch.
Yeah.
And it's now over.
Yeah.
Bodyguard, I'm going to go back to. Homecoming, Killing Eve, Pose. I don't know what Pose is.
Homecoming is that, isn't that the Julia? That's Amazon.
Which is only 30 minutes long. You know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the episodes are 30 minutes.
Oh, I thought you meant the whole show was 30 minutes.
No.
Pose is the show about the trans culture and drag culture that was on FX.
Okay.
It was the Ryan Murphy show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm really happy that was... that was acknowledged. I have to admit, I have not seen any of these shows. I feel like the only drama I'm caught up on is like we did Atlanta, and that's not on here, or that might be comedy, but or no, it's not on here at all. That's weird. And you know, I think we watched Sharp Objects, but that was a limited series, so that's on here, but it's not. Best drama.
Best television series for musical or comedy. Barry?
I really want to watch it. I've not seen it yet, but I've heard great things. And I really want to watch Kidding on Showtime because I miss Jim Carrey.
The Kaminsky Method. I've never heard of that. A Netflix thing?
Nope.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
I wonder how many more award shows and critics are going to have to tell me I have to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel before I finally do it. Because I've heard great things from everyone, so I need to check it out at some point.
There's nothing else that strikes me as I scroll down this list. You?
I love Sharp Objects. I'm glad it's getting attention. Glow could always use more attention, and all it got was Alison Brie a nomination, which she's fantastic. That's one of my favorite shows right now. I can't wait for that to come back.
Did you watch American Crime Story? Because I know everybody was all over the OJ one. Did you watch that
one?
Oh,
I never watched the... Okay. What was the Versace one?
Yeah, that's the one that was nominated here.
I love Darren Criss, so any attention that he can get for that is fantastic.
Last one to wrap all this. Did you watch The Alienist?
No, was that the...
19th century detective thing? The guy
Dakota Fanning?
Yes, and it's weird to see her not a seven.
Yeah.
And Daniel Brühl.
Brühl,
who
our
plays,
favorite German.
Baron Strucker in
Zemo.
Is it Zemo? I confuse my Barons. Yeah. Yeah. He's okay. He's peculiar.
Yeah.
He's like an unusual leading man.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know what happened, but it was just because he was in Inglourious Basterds and he's like in a bit part in there. And that was the first time I remember seeing him. And then it was like 4 years later, Hollywood decided, you're our German guy. Yep. And they put him in everything.
I can't tell. Like, are you a leading man or are you like a... Are you that guy?
Yeah, I think he's forever going to be that guy.
That's unfortunate. I think he's really pretty talented, but I can't tell.
Yeah.
Because it's the same damn role.
You're right.
Before we... You want to do Grammy stuff at all?
I have to admit, this is going to be mostly news to me if you're going to read me the categories because I haven't looked.
No, then we'll go over to the Avengers Endgame trailer.
Yeah.
Did you pick it apart? I know it broke. It's another Marvel trailer
record.
That breaks records.
Yeah.
It's like nearly 300 million views in a day or something.
Yeah.
We didn't even know the title of this.
Until now.
It's called Avengers Endgame, and it doesn't reveal much. There are some internet sleuths who think that they've decoded. The last thing I read was that the Ant-Man video is from the past, but how does he have the van, which he disappeared from, and he went to the future to see it? And
there's a lot of, I think we discussed it over text message, the idea that, well, Steve Rogers' beard is gone, and he's holding a locket that has Peggy's face in it. So is there time travel involved? He's wearing his Winter Soldier outfit. Like, what does this all mean? I don't know. The trailer does not give a lot, and I think we're going to get a lot of... I think any promotional materials for this, they know that they don't have to do much to sell this movie. So it's going to be a lot of tight close-ups on faces. They're not going to give away much. I did notice that Letitia Wright, what was her character's name?
Shuri.
Shuri. Dead. Yeah, her like face is on a monitor. So that either means she's... But then I think Scott Lang's is on there too. So I think they just mean missing, unaccounted for, or dead. But I don't know why they wouldn't know where Shuri is. I did notice Tom Holland's face was on that monitor as well.
Yeah, I think that's to lead us to believe that they were in the snapping or whatever they've now officially called it.
Yeah, loved seeing Jeremy Renner as Ronan.
Somebody pointed out, and I thought this was an interesting thing, and that was one of the things that people theorized was right, that he survived because he wasn't in the last movie.
Yeah.
Can you explain the Ronan thing real quick? Is that just like an alternate personality of Hawkeye?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it seems like there's always some event that kind of pushes him to, you know, put down the bow and arrow, and he takes on this other persona. I'm really interested to know where they're gonna say that he magically learned all of these sword, you know, skills. But at the same time, like, we don't know. This could be alternate realities. You know, they could be jumping around. You know, the possibilities are endless.
I like that. Okay, a couple other things with that. Did you see, I sent the tweet to you guys where the Russo brothers took a picture of a set and apparently Endgame was spelled out.
That was a stretch.
I was like, I see some letters and then the other things I don't see at all.
I think the M was the one I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and it was like the worst G ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a stretch. So, you're not a Star Trek fan, right?
I'm not.
Okay, so I was delighted when I read that the Russos, the brothers who are producing another Marvel movie. So it was Winter Soldier?
They did Winter Soldier, Civil War, and then these two Avengers.
They are looking to the final episode of Star Trek The Next Generation as inspiration for this, which has Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, jumping around different timelines.
Yeah.
He was the only constant. Like, he knew that he was jumping, but other people didn't. And he was going to the future, the present, and the past.
Yeah.
And he had to mesh everything together to figure out the conundrum at the end, the paradox at the end. I ruined a show that was, spoiler for 24 years. It ended 24 years ago. So that I was excited that they took inspiration for that, which gave some veracity to our thoughts that there's definitely going to be some time jumps in this movie.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever watched any kind of cinema, a good way to undo things in comics and TV is to go to the past.
Yeah. I love that idea. I mentioned this too in our text conversation. One of my favorite things in movies is when they have time travel, is when there's those little moments of like interaction, or it's like acting as though like, oh, this was happening the whole time, like you didn't even know it. Like they did the in Back to the Future, when they do the second one, it's like, oh, well, how did these sandbags get dropped off on those bullies, like while Marty McFly was on stage? Oh, it's because Marty McFly from the future, who was traveling back in time, had done it off screen and you just didn't see it. Or there's like Harry Potter, like who hit Harry in the head with an acorn? Oh, Harry threw it, or like Hermione threw it at him from the future, you know, like things like that. I love when there's that like mixing, and we have 20 something odd movies to pull from that we can kind of put our remaining surviving main characters into those movies, and I love that idea.
Did we talk about it in our text message, or did I read it, that one possible way that the Avengers come out on the good side here, which they will, because it's a comic book movie, and the good guys usually always win in almost everything, that Doctor Strange put a spell on whatever stone he gave Thanos?
Yeah, I heard that. Or I think you did mention that to us.
That's almost like too easy, and like, Thanos, for as brilliant as he is, sucker.
Yeah.
Why, you should take anything from that guy.
I know. We also have to just kind of be, you know, I always wonder like how far they can actually push this, like the really, really nerdy stuff, because then you start to lose people. But at the same time, like, I remember, you know, years ago when they were hinting at the stones, it was kind of like, they're never going to do that, because that's like trying to tell like your average everyday movie go over this whole thing about collecting these six stones and like having these powers and like what all the stones do. I was like, you'll never see that on screen. Thanos has kids. We'll never see any of that. I've been wrong ever since. So I don't know. The possibilities of the weird things they could do are limitless, really. I'm going to say that
That almost like hurts my brain. Because it's all, in the same way that Thanos killed half of the living creatures, which includes, we now know, dogs and cats. Man. One of my dogs is dead.
Oh.
They can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost unfair, because we're thinking time travel. How about, like, going to, like, they can completely bend physics. Like, they can go to another dimension, go back in time there, like, make a U-turn around, come to the future here. Then, like, it's almost unfair.
Yeah, these stones have to get destroyed after this movie. Especially the time stone. I don't know. Like, once you introduce time travel into your films, it's like, you gotta limit how you can do that, because then it's always like, well, nothing matters.
Right.
Like, nothing matters.
Right.
So, also, just, I really think it's interesting how the Spider-Man marketing train, just full on, they don't care. They don't care that we watched him die on screen. They're going right. to release screenshots. They're going to do trailers. They're going to do a full press tour. They, like, it's just so weird that they just blatantly don't care. And I think that's partially because it's kind of a Sony picture still, too. So, I mean, Sony is producing it, because when they're Spider-Man movies, they're technically Sony with Marvel. So it's like, they're just going to do whatever
they
want.
It does come out after.
It does, but it's like, oh, so we already know. Like, I mean, not that we didn't know before, but.
But I forget. Is it supposed to take place before Infinity War?
No, I'm pretty sure it's after.
Are you sure?
That'd be a lot to ask people to know that Captain Marvel is in the past, Infinity War is now, and then Spider-Man is also in the past. I think they've said Spider-Man Far From Home will be the beginning of what this new Avengers lineup and everything looks like.
Okay. You want to predict when any of that is?
When or?
Who that might be?
I'm thinking, like, you know, your standards are just Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain Marvel.
I wish I could have put a bet down. I would have. I wonder if there's like gambling odds for this stuff. I don't think Chris Evans is done. Just like, I never thought Robert Downey Jr. was done, because they still look at him as the glue in the tent pole.
Yeah.
And he likes those paychecks for very little work.
They do.
I don't think Chris Evans is done. And if he's done, he's not done. Like, yeah. I don't think he's going to die.
No, I think they might leave some room for, you know, I'm too old for this, or like, I'm retiring, or like, I'm just going to do my own thing. You know, they can always play it off like that. You know, they did it with Hawkeye. They just literally set a line like, oh, they're with their family. Like, they made a plea deal. So that's why he's not here right now. You know,
I think he loves the role.
I think he does too.
I think he adores the role. And I think there might have been a time through all of this where we all know Cap dies at one point, but people come back.
Everyone dies.
I think that there was probably a point like around Winter Soldier, so 2013, 2014,
yeah,
where the arrow was pointing towards him dying, and then they were considering, you know,
Bucky or Falcon or somebody taking over.
And then I think he just grew so deeply in love with this.
Yeah.
He's so good at it. I don't think he's going to vanish from the MCU.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with all of that. Definitely. I don't know. It's so hard to tell. And at some point, I hate to say it, but at some point I do want them to kind of move out of the way. I love them all so much. I really do, but I just kind of need them to like take a step back, like let's put some new people in there and just see if it works, you know? See if we can do an Avengers movie with five Avengers and, you know, it's this new lineup, you know, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, and seeing how they all work together, because, you know, we know how the others work together now. We've seen it so many times. So let's see what these other ones can do. I also, just for the record, to mention Harry Potter again, my like dream for this new Avengers would be if the first hour, like, nothing happened other than the remaining people were sad and talking about how they were sad and dealing with everything, and just a lot of like character work in that first like 45 minutes to an hour, and then from then on making it this like insane action movie.
I'd be okay with it. Well, it's going to be 4 hours. So like Thanos gets a job at Target because he gets bored.
Yeah.
Like he gets bored on his farm.
Because he's retired.
And he's got nobody to like kill. Like everything. Like the old Chinese proverb, may all your wishes come true.
Yeah.
And then they do. And then you're like, fuck, now what?
I guess I'll be a Walmart greeter.
Right. Exactly. Hello, I'm Thanos. Thanks for coming to work. Oh, you know what? You stole something. Bam.
Yeah.
some music stuff. The Grammy nominations came out on Friday. One thing I'm trying to figure out, and Vinny said it's the same people, which doesn't make any sense. Drake got nominated for Album of the Year, but not Rap Album.
I never know how that works. How you can do one and not both.
That makes no sense at all.
Didn't Beyonce get nominated for like Album of the Year and Hip Hop Album of the Year, and can't like Adele get nominated for like Pop Album of the Year and Album of the Year? You can double dip in the Grammys.
Yeah, but how are you
the best overall, but you're not the best rapper?
I was going to say, can I make a sports reference? It would be like a pitcher winning the like MVP,
okay,
but not winning the Cy Young, which is this pitcher specific award.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
You lost me for a second, but you brought me back. You explained what it was.
Whatever. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Do people care about the Grammy nominations?
No.
Okay. They just care about like who wins, even though they don't know who and how good the show is.
I don't even think if anybody really, the Grammys are, I think, of the award shows, like they should be the best because it's performances and, you know, sometimes the performances are great, but like overall just, I think I got really jaded, really, really bad the year that Lemonade and 25, Beyonce's Lemonade, Adele's 25 were up against each other like six times and Adele won every time. And you could see on Adele's face that she knew that she did not have the best album. She knew that Beyonce did. Everyone knew it because Adele's album, while it was really good, I loved it. It was a carbon copy of all her other music. You know, it's the same kind of thing over and over again. She's really good at it, and that's why she keeps winning. But then you get Beyonce, who does this whole heartbreaking album about her failing marriage and how it's recovering, and there's political meaning woven into it. There's so much. She does this hour-long movie and music video thing that is just like something no one had ever done before other than Beyonce when she had done it for her album prior to. But, you know, she stayed away from pop singles. Everything was 4 to 5 minutes long of just like, definitely can't play this on the radio because it won't make it. But it was the best album and everyone knew it. And the Grammys just didn't do anything with it. And then they'll just give Taylor Swift everything.
Not this year.
It doesn't.
The album wasn't very good this year.
No, it wasn't. But it's just, I don't know. It seems like sometimes some of these award shows seem to have a pretty good read on how the public is feeling. The Grammys sometimes favors your Bruno Mars, your Taylor Swift, your Adele's over what the actual winner should be. And that's tough because the Academy Awards, half the time, the best picture of the year is the best movie of the year. No one's heard of it.
And I guess this is applicable to any award show.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to compare this stuff.
It is.
Like how, see, I'm not a Beyonce fan. I don't think she's not talented.
Yeah.
I think she's a little overrated. But you're right about the Adele stuff. Like she can just release an album and collect the awards because what she does is timeless.
Yeah.
And how do you compare the two?
Yeah.
Because they are different genres of music at their core.
Yeah.
And what
the Academy Awards, while they're not perfect, and I'm not going to say they are, but they've taken those steps of being like, we need to broaden our voting base because it's going to be the same white people nominated over and over again. They understand they had an issue. They got called out several times. And so they're like, okay, well, we're going to expand our base. We're going to allow more young people of color, more women. These are our voters now. The Grammys has not done that yet. And everyone has said, like, you have hip hop categories. And that's great. But you don't take hip hop or R&B or other, you know, mainstream black culture seriously when it comes to the pop categories. Because your Adele is always going to win because your old white voters love Adele's movie. They get it. They get her music. You, like you said, it's timeless. But you have someone who's 65, white, you know.
You're too young, or you're a little young. I remember it was 2000, it might have been 2000, and Christina Aguilera either won or was nominated for like Best New Artist.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up in the 90s with the Grammys, I was like, I don't want to watch this because I don't know any of these artists. They were all like old and classical things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when Christina Aguilera was nominated, I was like, holy shit, somebody I know.
Yeah.
And they've come a long way from that. But yeah. I completely get your point. I was scrolling down here, and it happens like almost without fail. So, Best Pop Solo Performance. Beck was nominated again.
Yeah.
How?
Like, exactly. It's because your voter base is the same.
But that part, like 1994, Beck peaked.
Yeah. But if you're like if your newest voters or, you know, all those people were in 1994 fell in love with Beck, they still love Beck today, you know? Like, so they just see his. And that's the other thing is half these voting things, nobody listens to the albums, nobody watches the movies. You see the names and you're like, sure.
Record of the year, which goes to the artist and the producer. So I like it. This Is America, God's Plan, Shallow, All the Stars, Rockstar, and The Middle.
Rockstar. What's Rock?
Post Malone.
Oh, Post Malone.
I don't know what the joke is, nor do I know who Brandi Carlile is.
I don't know what any of that is. But it'll probably win because it's the Grammys.
It'll be interesting to see the movie's impact on Shallow winning musical awards.
It is interesting because I really love that song a lot, but it's kind of like, is it a good song? Or is it a good song because it's in the movie? Because the song itself is like really weird, but when you see it in the context of the movie, it's perfect.
It's an Adele song by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Album of the year. So, Cardi, whoever the hell Brandi Carlile is again, Drake, her, if that's pronounced correct. Do you know what that is? It's like an R&B dude. Every time I see it come on, I flip it off. Yeah. Post Malone, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musgraves, and the Black Panther album.
I would love Janelle Monáe or Kacey Musgraves or Cardi B. I think all of them. But like you said, you can't compare. How do you compare Kacey Musgraves' album
to Cardi?
To Cardi. Both of them just really came out the gate this year. You know, people kind of knew who they were, you know, prior to this year, but then both of them came out with these debut albums that just knocked everyone away, but like different audiences and sometimes crossover audiences. But how do you compare them?
Use another sports reference, it'd be like comparing, like I did the previous one, like a hitter to a pitcher. They do different. When you do stuff like that, it's even more drastic. Yeah. It's like saying, who had a better season, Steph Curry or Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
They're different sports.
Exactly. And then when you think of like again, talking about who the voters are, well, if history is going to repeat itself, then Kacey Musgraves will win. She probably deserves it. But it's like, but if your voting base isn't like a 50-50, I don't know. I don't know how you decide that. Janelle Monáe's album was my favorite of all of those. So
really?
I would love for that to win.
You know what was kind of interesting? I'm looking at it's best pop duo group performance. Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton Say Something.
Mm-hmm.
His lack of nominations justifies my thinking that that album was a piece of shit.
It was bad. And I was thinking about that again today.
You know his tour just got canceled because he's got some throat problems?
Yeah.
It got canceled because it's not selling well.
Yeah.
That was a piece of shit.
Like, it was not good.
I'm all for, like, I listened to it, and I knew going in it was Man of the Woods and a little twangy and stuff, and I blew through it, and I was like, this is not good at all.
But that's the thing, is he had sold it as it was going to be, like, a twangy. I would have loved if half of the song sounded like Say Something. Say Something's an okay song. I think it's a little long, but I would have loved if half the album was like that, but I don't know where he came in with this, like, it's going to be this, like, woodsy country kind of, and then it wasn't. And then I don't know what it was.
He gets that latitude because he is who he is.
Yeah.
There's like an old work reference that I always remember. Men in Black, that song was really, do you remember the song?
I do.
It's catchy as anything, yeah. Right? So a couple of years later for the sequel, there was another single and it was called Black Suits, Nod Your Head. And it was rapping Will Smith.
Oh, gosh.
And a friend of mine in the music business always like makes the idea where Will Smith comes storming in and says, I've got this hit record. And the people at his label are like, oh, Will, thanks for Men in Black Part 2. And then you put it on the radio and it's a complete piece of shit and a bomb.
Yeah.
And that was Justin with this album.
Yeah.
So like, go back to doing what you're really good at.
Yeah.
And you think when you're that talented, you can do almost anything and it turns to gold. But that's not often the case.
And I like that he tries new things. I mean, you know, the 2020 experience is different than his first two albums. You know, Justified and, what was the other one?
Whatever had Sexy back on it.
Future Sex. Those albums, I mean, they're different, but there's a lot of similarities between the two. And then, you know, you get 2020 experience, which has some notes of those first two albums, but on its own, it's its own thing. You know, some of the tracks don't even sound like they should be on the same album together because he just, you have the money, you have the resources, you could just do whatever you want. And sometimes it works. And then you get Man of the Woods, where sometimes it doesn't.
Do you remember the first single? Was it called Filthy?
Yeah. And the reason I am reminded of this album is because I got my Spotify, like, top 100 songs you listen to this year.
Right.
In my playlist or whatever. And I'm scrolling through, and Filthy was on there. And I was like, I don't know why this is on here. I don't like this song. And I remembered that when they dropped that single, I listened to it over and over and over and over again, trying to tell myself that it was a good song.
We all did that because 12 years ago when Sexy Back came out, we're like, this is so different. Is this going to work?
Yeah.
And it did. And we all tried to do the same thing with Filthy. And then I don't know about you, but I didn't listen to it that many times. But I'm like, all this is like a collection of noises.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like if I wanted to watch, remember before we had cable, if you didn't have an antenna, you just got like loud static.
Yeah.
That's what that song was.
I also remember, what was the other one he tried? It was the single from 2020. Oh, Suit and Tie with Jay-Z.
That song
shouldn't have worked.
It did.
It did, though. Yeah, but when I heard it the first time, I'm like, this is not Sexy Back. This is not any of what he's released before. And then you listen to it a couple times, you're like, oh, this is actually really cool.
I think I'm trying order of when things came.
With what?
With him and Bruno Mars. I don't know if Bruno's stuff did, like...
Like the
Treasure and Locked Out of Heaven, like that kind of started that 70s, 80s funk vibe back.
So I remember when Bruno was nominated, when Grenade was nominated.
That was his first album.
And that was his first album. And that was before the 2020 experience.
Yeah.
And he did a live performance at the Grammys. It's one of my favorite things to just watch. And he dressed in all black suit and tie. They had the big fat microphone and he was there and the hooligans were behind him and they were like the soul singers. And it was kind of that first time of like doing this, like bring back the Frank Sinatra-y vibe of like this classiness to it. And then he ended up doing the whole Unorthodox Jukebox album was like that. But at the same time, JT had done the 2020 experience, basically the same thing of like, I'm going to dress fancy and right. This is, you know,
suit and tie.
Yeah. It's almost like that should be the lead single.
And then and then it was that era. I don't know if that era ended, but it was certainly capped off with Uptown Funk.
Yeah. And I think, what's his name from Panic at the Disco. He does the same thing where he dresses in a suit and tie and he brings the big microphone out and tries to do like all Frank Sinatra style. And he's still doing that. So,
but he's always done that, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't really remember them much from junior high other than I just listened to them a lot.
What's your favorite song right now? We'll wrap up with that.
My favorite song right now.
Do you mean of all time or right now? No, right now. Right now.
I love Carly Rae Jepsen. And
stop it.
She put out a single about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks called.
So you're the one.
Oh, Party for One. I could just listen to her just nonstop. I know this is crazy. And I just met you and this is crazy, but listen to her sometimes and you'll like it maybe. She did an album in 2015 called Emotion and none of the singles made it on the radio. And it's all these like 80s vibe sound effects and her voice just works so perfectly for it. And there's like Cyndi Lauper type songs. There's like Madonna-esque songs, like just the sounds of them, but they're all their own thing. And I sound like, you know, I don't know, but it's amazing. I love it. I love her. I think we don't give her enough respect. And I think she'll make it past that single someday.
Will she ever have a hit single ever again?
I mean, she had Good Time with Owl City.
That doesn't count.
No, it's not Call Me Maybe.
I mean, will she ever have another hit ever again?
No, because that thing got memed the heck out of everyone. It was something. So
Justin Camuso from the place we don't talk about. Didn't want the free advertising, but I'll tell you about it soon. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks, Eric.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.